The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Onto Beach Street, then turn right onto 6th Avenue.
Just keep going. You're going to take a right.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto 1st Avenue.
Okay. 1st Avenue, 900 feet. That's not right at all.
Several blocks.
Several blocks. It's already recording one.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I think you... Did you pause it?
No, I didn't press anything.
Oh. Yeah, it's going. Yeah, I recorded that whole interaction.
So not 800 feet in 2.5 blocks, take a right on 1st Avenue.
2.5, 1.5, 400 feet.
Oh, God.
Dead silence.
300. It's not that many feet. It's fairly easy to determine at that point. You can see 400 feet ahead of you.
I don't know.
The visibility in San Diego right now is very clear. Definitely 400 feet worth of visibility.
Definitely, Rita.
That guy's lights are super. 600 feet. Was it really 800 feet back there? That's got to be... I don't know that that's right. Now it's 500 feet, 450 feet, 400, 350. I'm counting it down, 300.
It's at the light.
250. My watch is tingling. 200 feet, 150 feet, 100 feet, 70 feet, 50 feet, 25 feet, 10 feet, 0 feet. This is fucking riveting podcasting, gentlemen. It's like we have a fourth person.
It's right there. I-5 South.
Oh, shit, I'm out of gas. Here, I gotta get gas.
Wait, Jesus. Not right now.
I gotta get gas.
It doesn't mean you're out right now. It's not like, oh, fuck, you're gonna stop because you're out of gas. It's an indicator that you need to fill up soon, but not immediately.
Maybe this is a good opportunity for you to shit your pants inside.
Oh, really, yeah, no. Great. Let's just push that boundary some more.
I don't know the limit.
I got a crap on deck that choke a donkey.
Go take a dump.
Not in the 7-Eleven.
Why
no,
not?
I parked on the wrong side.
Oh, good name.
I'm two retards trying to hump a donut.
Oh, God. What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know. I don't like the way that stingray's looking at me on the wall over there. Goddamn mural.
Shit.
Also, this guy is like the most half-assed window washer I've ever seen.
Plus,
in my
I'm
life.
Pretty sure fucking beluga whales aren't in San Diego. This mural is all wrong. There's not lionfish here. I'm gonna have to go talk to the manager of this establishment. Hey, repaint this shit real quick, a-holes.
There are zero lionfish in San Mira. Diego. I should know. I'm a huge Aquaman fan.
Right? Trust me. I know a guy. He talks to those fuckers.
He wears orange pants.
No, he wears green pants and an orange top. You suck. Are you excited about a Swamp Thing live action series?
I don't know.
Like, what is that guy doing washing the window?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. He just like slopped water all over the windows and now he's like paper toweling them dry.
He didn't even squeegee that fucker.
No, I don't think he understands how that works.
What's he doing?
Dude, he's like washing his car with a paper towel. It's the weirdest
what
shit.
What are you?
This is not at a car wash.
He's just grabbing paper towel after paper towel after paper towel.
Talking about lionfish?
No! This guy is like
over across the way. He's washing his car.
What are you talking about?
Look at this guy!
His eyeballs!
He literally just slopped water all over his car, and now he's just wiping his car down with paper towels. I don't understand. What the fuck is going on?
I have
right
no
now?
Idea. It's not a car wash.
Why are you being so quiet?
Because I don't want
him right there.
I don't want him to come to try to wash your car.
Time?
I don't know.
Yes, I am.
It's past my bedtime, man.
Tired and I had
so confused by the fucking murals. Juan stopped immediately to get gas as soon as the gas light came on. His words out of his mouth were literally, "Oh fuck, I gotta get gas," and then we veered over into the nearest gas station.
Oh. And now we have to drive all the way around because this is a one-way street.
Yeah, you're right. And my navigation system is unreliable, as we've seen.
400 feet, 800 feet, 400 feet.
How did you go up a number?
Oh, man.
Is he done washing it? He did a terrible job.
Dude, he's
look at those windows.
That's what I'm saying.
There's still fingerprints all over those windows.
Oh, I like just want to scream out the window. That's not how that works.
He literally used the squeegee thing to wash his whole car and didn't do a great job at it.
I gotta go all the way over
dude,
there.
Dude, his front window is destroyed.
Can't you just use
oh
there.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Oh my God, that's a lot of.
All those cars
that's a lot. Of cars.
This'll be the last episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box, guys.
It was nice knowing you all.
I'm glad that we can record this for posterity.
The fucking phone number is not gonna be the Michael Kirk Memorial
it's
Hotline.
Gonna
it's gonna
day
be
Day One and John and Charisma.
The show.
Memorial
take care of my children. Go. Whoever's listening.
Go go go!
Laura Harold. These are my favorite episodes.
You stop telling me how to live my life.
0.2 miles, take exit 16 onto 163 North Escondido.
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 0.2 miles?
Yeah, it's
800 feet,
different.
700 feet, 600 feet, 500 feet, 450, 350, 300, 200, 150. I'm not a good judge of feet.
Right here.
163 North.
What's that got you? I'm exiting.
All right, cool. Yeah, I don't need
that's
you to.
Towards Escondido?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not 160B.
16B.
It's not Cardi B. We're taking 163.
I love Cardi B.
Do you? What was that?
Oh my gosh.
That's the noise Cardi B makes. That's what she says.
She says that in her songs or just in general?
Just in general when
just
she's
all
talking.
The time.
What does that mean?
Nothing.
No,
it just
she
means
said,
okr.
She said it meant
oh,
something
she,
on like Jimmy
Fallon
Kimmel
yeah.
or something like that.
She did all her sounds on Jimmy Kimmel, on Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy
it was amazing.
Right. It's two different Jimmys.
Timmy!
No, Jimmy, not Timmy.
Oh.
Oh,
El Centro. 2.3, exit 3A, Juan.
3A.
Side note, can we get Rebecca Romaine Salad on our podcast? Can you reach out to her agent?
I can reach out to her agent.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know
she's
if it'll
gorgeous.
Come up if I put in Rebecca Romaine Salad, though.
Probably not.
I like romaine lettuce a lot.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that hurting your bum?
Did that rumble your fucking belly?
Oh, it's
on the press.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Squeeze that little
he's
thing.
That's a good word.
Squeeze it.
Precipice. I'm on the prolapse precipice.
Oh, man. I was waiting for it.
That's what we need to do to get a shout out on Kevin Smith's show next time is talk about prolapses.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, Ralph interviewed the fisting couple, so that's weird.
Is that going to be a thing in a year still?
Fisting?
Prolapsing. Fisting is always a thing.
Well, so is prolapsing, according to you.
Why is fisting a thing? Oh.
Weekly. They talked about weekly. How that couple does it weekly. I feel like that's...
What kind of prep work does that involve?
And I feel like it's strangely regimented as well. Like who?
Every Sunday at 2.
Yeah, at Sundays we fist.
Saturday night, we got to go to Home Depot and get a new tarp.
Because I got to get off here. Right?
No, 0.9 miles,
three?
Man.
Oh, I thought you said 3.
3A.
Oh, shit.
This is
2B. That's 2B. Motherfucker need glasses.
I wasn't even saying
it
three.
Said 3.
It's a 2B.
Half a mile.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, my God.
What the
it's
shit?
It's almost like you can read.
I was almost out of gas.
You were not almost out of gas.
Like
you had like 30 to 40 miles after that. Not immediately.
I don't want to.
What kind of world would that be if it came on and everybody had to immediately get gas?
That would be terrible.
It would be a horrible world to live in.
Just put gas in your car.
That was nice of you. And now we got
some. You think that guy got his car cleaned?
No.
Fuck no. Did you see it?
He was back in his car and it was still fucked up.
He only made it worse.
3A. What are you doing back there?
3A.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Two right lanes. 200 feet, 100 feet, 15 feet, 0 feet.
I'm going to take this bitch off the road.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, should we say what we're doing, or should this just be
the
episode?
I don't know what's going on.
We're driving to the hotel.
Just finished Hollywood Babylon.
We did just finish Hollywood Babylon. So this is... I don't know what this will be. This will definitely be in the episode,
yeah,
but
sure.
we're at Comic-Con International in San Diego.
After hours.
After hours.
Way after hours.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
0.6 miles, you're going to take exit 6A.
6A.
Qualcomm Way.
6A.
6A.
So this is what...
It's not BA, 6A.
BA?
BA Baracus says, get the fuck over.
Who's BA Baracus?
Come on.
What? He's Mr. T
from the A-Team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just know him as Mr. T.
No, he's BA.
That's his name. That's his real name in real life.
Badass.
Really?
Yeah, Mr. T.
His name is Badass Baracus.
B.A. Baracus is his name in the A-Team.
Okay.
Mr. T plays that character.
I apologize. It's not something I watched.
Stay left.
Yeah, Qualcomm.
You're welcome. Qualcomm.
I'm kidding. Boom.
So you know that.
It's Mr. T. I didn't know.
I pity the fool. Take a right. You got to take a right here. Oh, my God.
Why is somebody directing me?
Fucking. No, we're not dying. All right. Oh, that hurt my asshole. All right, so not this right turn here, but at the light, you're going to turn right. Holy shit. Broke my wife. That was amazing. That doesn't happen very often. Oh. All right, you take a right at this light? Yes, sir.
I'm going.
No. We're here. She's still broken.
200 feet. 100 feet.
You have arrived.
Oh, my God.
I'm pity the fool.
Oh, shit.
Genius. Where's your door?
Well, it's the thing right here.
Whatever you want is fine.
What?
Drive to your door.
Excuse me.
What?
Shut the fuck up, Siri. I don't need no dry cleaning.
Oh my God, you guys.
Hello?
And that is how
Did somebody call
I don't know what's happening.
That's how
what the fuck is going on?
That's how we almost died on the way back to John's hotel.
After immediately getting gas when the gas... Gaslight game.
I'm watching a guy wash his car with paper towels.
In the fucking squeegee center at the gas station.
With
inaccurate animal life on the mural. That was just a clusterfuck, if I've seen one.
Is she dead?
Pretty much. I still gotta poop.
Good night.
We're done? All right.
Yeah,
we're done.
Don't press that.
This don't die.
This has been Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast.
And we're back. And we're gone.
Bye. Good
night. Oh, don't pretend it might come true.
Oh, God.
Bye, John. Bye, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Right. Thank you, Juan.
Take
my fan.
Take your fan.
Adios.
Bye.
See you soon.
Would you want to direct us home?
No. They don't, actually.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Yes, please. Do you have any towels in your bedroom?
I'll be right back.
Okay. No, because you got to take a shit, and that's going right. to take a long time. You got a lot of reading material. Just stick that fan up your ass.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, here we go. Poway.
Poway.
Ramada in Poway.
Oh, fuck.
Holy shit, what was that?
That was very funny.
Whew. I think it was funny to us. I don't know that anybody else is going to think that's funny.
Some of it was because I almost died.
You did almost die, and he also screamed at you very last minute for a turn.
I got to turn right here, I believe.
Yeah, you do have to turn right, because that's what the sign says.
Oh, shit, that was funny. What are we doing here? I'm okay recording while I drive now that all the craziness is over, as long as you keep telling me where I'm going.
Okay, Dave.
Oh, fuck.
In a half mile, you turn right on Mission City Parkway. This is just going to be step-by-step instructions.
That's okay.
How to get back to the hotel.
That's all right.
We do have a long stretch of highway,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we're good.
So you're about to...
This guy is about to jump in front of me and kill me.
So you're about to go back to Los Angeles tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Spend time with your family.
Yes.
Meet me at the convention.
This guy's coming up on me fast.
So you're 2 days at the convention. What'd you think? How'd it go?
I love San Diego Comic-Con. Again, I think because I'm in go mode all the time, I don't look like I'm having fun, but I'm having a lot of fun. I love it. I love being there.
I'm loving it too. Like, I'm tired. Like, I feel worn out. You know, this is the third night in a row that I've gone to bed like after one.
Right.
Which is super weird for me. I usually go to bed at like, you know, 7:38.
Right.
Because I just, I'm going to watch television and pass the fuck out. So, I don't know. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm exhausted. Like,
I'm tired,
I
but
have another day to go.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously not going to be home tomorrow, so
right.
Yeah, I'm tired, but it's good. It's I'm ready. I'm ready for another con. A whole nother con. Let's just start that bitch next week.
No, that I'm not ready for.
Maybe not in LA, but or not in California, I mean.
If it was like down the street from me, maybe.
The Greeley Comic Con? Yeah, let's start that bitch.
If it was at like the Elks Lodge or something.
We have a good enough, good amount of contacts. I think we should start it.
3/4 of a mile. You know, Grand Slam does the like their sale thing at the, what is that place called? The ranch.
I have no idea.
Whatever.
Oh, the, yeah. The Budweiser Event Center.
Yeah, out in Loveland.
Yeah.
They always draw quite a few people.
Do they?
I think more people went to their thing than went to Estes Park Comic Con.
I
heard tell that Estes Park had one table of people that were selling.
I hear
books.
Pray tell that as well. I hear that they something happened to them. I think like I don't because they broke off. Somebody broke off from them. Two or three people broke off and did Shy Comic-Con or some bullshit like that, or they're doing it soon. So some like somebody from the team broke off from them and is now doing their own thing.
That's weird.
Yeah,
I didn't hear about that.
Chi-Con or something like
something
that.
Something in
but,
Cheyenne.
Yeah, because yeah, it is. Yep. And it's – I read it from your best friend Smitty because I can still see his posts.
Right.
And,
you just don't ever respond to him so you don't have to –
No, I don't respond to many people.
Because you have friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the right thing. Facebook sometimes tells me that I don't have enough friends, and sometimes it doesn't let me look at my feed because of that, which is the weirdest fucking thing. I want to choose how many friends I have fucking Facebook.
Yeah, that seems weird.
But anyway, he had linked it or some bullshit, and he had asked them if they were a part of the Cheyenne Comic-Con. And they had denied it. It just really sounded like there was something, some kind of shit that went on with Cheyenne. So who knows? I mean, it didn't sound like it went off, you know, very well again this year. I didn't even really see it all that much. So I don't know. It's just weird.
I saw a bunch of stuff about Estes Park Comic Con really early in the year. And then it kind of all petered out. A couple people canceled. And then, like, the whole thing just kind of fell apart. And I feel like it just didn't have any kind of... I mean, it's a weird place to do it. Like, no matter where you're from, it's at least an hour away because it's up in the mountains.
Right.
So even if you live in Loveland, you're driving like 45 minutes to get there.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird. But...
I mean, they've got to do those things for... Obviously, for the city that they're in, right. I don't think that you're gonna draw big guests in cities like that because it's like you said, it's kind of a weird
town.
And out of the way. So I just don't think that's a really good venue or spot.
I don't think so either. But Grand Slam ran there, whatever it is they call it. They don't call it a convention because it's literally like a comic book sale.
Right. Right.
But they ran it the exact same day as, like, or like, I guess the big day for Estes Park Comic Con that Saturday. And there were people on, excuse me, there were people on Facebook that were like, which one should I go to?
Oh, yeah,
and
I read
people
that.
Were like, why would you go to something that you have to pay $40 for that you don't even know if there's going to be comic sellers?
Right.
There? When you can go to this
I'm not in for comics, though.
Well, you can go to this thing in Loveland for free.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's a comic sale.
Right.
Which, I mean, for a lot of the people that we hang out with, that makes a lot of sense.
It's just, so it's weird to me because no matter where you're at, pretty much in Colorado, you can go to Grand Slam Comics for maybe tops hour and a half to 2 hours. You know what I mean? I can go any comic book shop I want to in Colorado. I don't need you to put a whole sale together for me to go.
Well, no, it's what's cool, though, is it's not just them.
No,
I
get that, but what I'm saying is the reason I don't go to those things for comic books is because I can go to you for comic books already. I don't need you to all be in a collective for me to be like, oh, yeah, I'll go check out what you have. Most of the time, I don't even want to go to you. I just want to go to Hall of Justice. I don't care about any other store.
Well, I think what's cool about it is you can – it's largely for back issue collectors.
Right.
Where you're saying, okay, I'm looking for like these 10 books.
Sure, sure.
And you can search through like 15 different stores, you know.
It's easy.
It's easy.
I get you. I get you. I have a whole collection of Amazing Spider-Man that I need to try and get and Green Arrow and things like that. I just don't. It just doesn't appeal to me to go to things like that where it's just books because I can do that.
It's just nice to not have to travel from, like, place to place.
No, I understand
and do it
that.
All at once.
I
know,
totally
I'm not,
get that.
I'm not arguing with
no,
you.
No,
I'm
no,
just
I know.
Talking about it.
I totally get it. It's just weird to me.
I like them, but...
I don't like it or not like it. It's just weird.
I feel like if you took that piece of it and then added, like, one more, like, hall... that was like convention-y stuff, like, you know, sellers of like t-shirts and that kind of stuff, and then like a little bit of a celebrity thing and maybe a couple panels. Like, you could put together a Northern Colorado convention without too much of a problem.
I just don't. I mean, that was Rocky Mountain Con,
but that was Rocky Mountain Con in Denver. Like, that's, I think that's the problem, is that Rocky Mountain Con is taking place in Denver, like, not too long after Denver Comic Con and not too shortly before Colorado Springs Comic Con.
It was I went twice with John, and they had really cool guests.
They had super cool guests.
It was just dead. It was pretty completely dead both of the times that I went with John. And that's majority comics. I just don't... It's weird because I just don't think that there... I don't think that there's that many of those people out there anymore.
I don't think Rocky Mountain Con was really majority comics.
It was a lot of comics.
There was a lot of comic artists and writers and stuff like that, but there was a ton of, like, celebrity guests.
There was. I agree.
And there was a lot of, like, other retailers, like, and things that didn't necessarily, like, make sense, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, but that's at everything. I'm sure you could find a nail fucking place here, or, you know what I mean, a jewelry place here that didn't have anything to do with superheroes, you know what I mean? I think it's just they're trying to capitalize on the amount of people that will be here.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's weird. I honestly just don't think there's the demand for it anymore. I just don't. I don't think that there's a big enough demand, maybe in certain small areas, you know, but I don't think you can make something big like that anymore. People just aren't into back issues as much as maybe they once were.
Right.
You know, they want to collect what's coming out from what I can see. You know, I don't have years of experience at collecting comics, but from what I can see, most of the people now are looking for, you know, the next big thing. You know, they're looking for what has come out recently that's going to make me money. And I think that's what they're looking for more than what came out 50 or 60 years ago.
I think a lot of collectors, too, are looking for the big find for no money.
Right.
Like, and if you're going to shops, like, even if you're going to, like, a big sale where they're all kind of, like, competing for your attention, those shops are going to have their comics priced at market value. They're not going to... You're not going to find a Hulk 181 for, like, $10 like you might find at, like, a flea market
or
Craigslist or something. You're going to find...
But I feel like those people are still fucking... Now they think they can get all that money for it at the flea markets and shit.
Oh, dude, it's funny because flea markets have outrageous prices on... They're either the comic books you're buying from them are, like, a buck a piece and you happen across something that's, like, a $40, $50 book, or every single book that's in their thing is priced at $5. And it's, like... You know,
it's like a 50-cent issue.
Dude, it's not even, like, 50-cent issues. It's, like, stuff that... It's stuff that we aggressively read.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, Gen 13, number 47?
That was a deep cut, by the way.
It was a shit. It was. That's from a long time ago.
But I don't think that's feasible anymore. In my heart of hearts, I feel like in order to make something big, you have to have a celebrity element. And Rocky Mountain Con, just in general, that was like the closest thing that I can remember offhand. That was a pretty good mix of both.
Yeah.
Because I think everything else is obviously way more pop culture now. You know, or it's the people who hate celebrities and how dare they take over, you know, conventions, and it's just comics. And while they probably do well, I don't think that that's ever going to be big anymore.
So I remember a few years ago, like, there was a documentary that came out that was about San Diego Comic-Con. It was about the convention, and a big part of it was Chuck from Mile High Comics, right?
Right.
And he talked a lot about how they, you know, they were pushed away in a corner and, like, comic sellers weren't front and center and it's all about the celebrities and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. Like, maybe something has changed since that documentary was made.
Right.
But I call bullshit, dude. You, like, walk into the hall and, like, there's probably, I think it's, like, A through, like, H, there's entrances.
Right.
And, like, in front of, like, B, C, and D entrances are just comic sellers. Like, and comic sellers, like, halfway across the thing, selling literally everything from, like, half-price trade paperbacks and omnibus editions to just shit tons of single-issue comic books.
Right, right, like, right.
I mean, there's so many comic books that you could dig through and that you could buy from there that I don't buy for a second that you can't... Shut up. I don't buy for a second that you can't make money as a comic book seller at
Police reported a hit.
San Diego Comic-Con.
Here's the other thing. Two things to that. I think what people get upset about is that they... Because what I see a lot of is like Neely and like Xander Cannon, where they're coming to set up their books. And it's not necessarily a store that came to set up all of their long boxes. You know what I mean? So you don't necessarily get to dig through a shit ton of comic books, but there's a ton of comic books around. Like, it's not... Like you said, it's not misrepresented. They're fucking everywhere.
Literally... There isn't a spot in the floor where you...
I mean, even at the big image booths and shit, like, they have comic books still there.
Like, there's not a place where you don't see comic books. Like, there's not a portion of any of it on the exhibition floor where you can't turn around... And within sight, there's a comic book.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, I think that, again, and maybe I'm a dick and I don't know because I haven't been collecting my whole life and God knows what, but I feel like it's just an older crowd saying, I want to go dig. I don't want to see Xander Cannon pushing his own bullshit, which is, that's not my opinion. That's just what I'm saying, because I like Xander Cannon. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's the mentality. If you're not a store that has 10 long boxes out, then long boxes don't exist. You know what I mean? Or then comic books don't exist, I mean. You know what I mean? Instead of having to search for the book that you want, you can go find it. You know, Xander has this stuff, or whoever has this stuff on the floor. It's just weird to me.
And there's so much new stuff to like discover that like isn't coming out from like Marvel or DC or even Image or Dark Horse. There's like an entire section of like indie comic book artists or indie comic book creators, and an entire section just of like comic book artists that are there to like hustle their art. Like it's asinine to me that people don't think that. They get so hung up in, well, it's just all about the movies and it's all about this. But even like the Lego thing, sure, some of it's like themed towards, you know, comic book movies or comic book television, but
right.
It still all points back to the comic books.
What?
Like everything that's in that place, whether it be a movie or a television show or even like books, like actual books. Almost all of it points back to comic books. And when people are bitching about, oh, it's just pop culture and it has nothing to do with comic books anymore, you have no fucking idea. Like,
or you may not have ever been. You're being judgy.
I think that's what a lot of it is I'm sorry that, like, I feel like you probably just haven't gone and have no fucking idea that the whole place is crammed full of comic books or things that point towards comic
right.
books.
And here's my other thing about the Mile High thing. I get it. You know, I think I read somewhere they were whining that San Diego Comic-Con had become too expensive and it just wasn't worth it, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel bad for them. Not one fucking bit do I feel bad for people who whine about the cost of coming to a Comic-Con and turn around and fucking gouge the shit out of their books. Because the people overseas or whatever will buy them. You know what I mean? That's stupid. Like, you're fucking it up too. Like, you don't get to whine because it costs so much to go to San Diego Comic-Con and then charge your book 300% or some bullshit.
I mean, it's, if you aren't understanding, like, what your market is, that's on you. If somebody has a book for 15 or 20 bucks cheaper, this one right here.
Oh, it is this one?
Yeah. If you... No, I lied. Yeah, it's the next one. Sorry. If you are selling a book for 15 or 20 bucks more than the guy next to you, obviously everybody's going to go buy the book from the guy next to you.
Right.
Like, that's your own thing. Like, and if you're not willing to make the changes to make that better, then cool. Just don't complain.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't like. Like, I get it. If you're going to make money doing your thing, cool. He's probably making money hand over fist on sending books overseas or wherever the fuck he's sending them. But don't turn around and complain because you can't sell your books at fucking, 300% of market at a convention. You know what I mean? You're fucking making your money. Stop whining.
Yeah.
It's fucking annoying. I can't stand that place. I'm sorry, whoever shops at Mile High. I don't care if it gets back to him. Turn right on Robinson Boulevard. I don't give a fuck.
I like shopping there if I have the coupon code.
It's just stupid. That's what pisses me off. You have to have a coupon code as a normal fucking customer to go shop there. It's annoying. Ugh, I'm over it. Next topic.
I didn't know we were doing
topics, I have no idea what we're doing.
We're almost back to the hotel, so...
Yeah, I don't know if you want to record there or...
I want to go to sleep because okay. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
Well, then let's wrap... Do you want to record tomorrow?
Yeah, let's record some
okay,
in the morning.
Okay, because I was going to say, let's wrap up... let's talk about the show a little bit, but...
Maybe Juan will be less grumpy in the morning.
No, I doubt it. I'm not grumpy at all. I had a great night. Kevin Smith was amazing.
He was. That was super funny.
I love it. It's my third year, I think, that we've done it together. I couldn't remember if it was third or fourth. I'm pretty sure it was the third year that we've gone. Because I think I've gone every single time we've gone to San Diego Comic-Con. So it would have been my third Babylon there, and I think my fourth just in general.
Nice.
So
it was super funny. Like,
yeah, I love
it. It was cool. Oh, well, so here's a thing that we can talk about for just a little bit. Kevin Smith was awarded the Inkpot Award.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now we kind of got to be a part of two Inkpot things. Nichelle Nichols got the Inkpot Award at the From the Bridge panel, and Kevin Smith told us all about him winning the Inkpot. And he literally
went... cried.
Yeah, he cried, and he literally went... Why the fuck do people walk in the street so much here? But he literally went so far as to say that he would rather win the Inkpot than the Oscar, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nerd.
Yeah.
I really do feel like that, because a lot of like celebrities say that when they start coming into, and you know, there are some people who you can tell that they've been reading or doing books or whatever their whole life, but a lot of other people are just like, yeah, I love superheroes, you know what I mean, because they're in the movie,
right?
But I really feel like it's because I've been listening to him forever and I follow his career for a long time, but I feel like he's super super genuine when he says shit about that,
right? I mean, you can tell that he has a love for it because he's had a love for it since before it was cool.
No, it was cool though. I mean, I didn't know about the Inkpot Award. I didn't know that again, cause I'm not I'm not a giant nerd.
Right.
As much as I think I am a nerd. I'm not a big history, but, I didn't know what that was. So it's pretty cool that we got to, you know, the Nichelle Nichols one was cool cause you were there.
Yeah.
You know, you were there when she got the award. The Kevin Smith one we got to be a part of because, you know, he told us about it and it just happened an hour before or whatever, so.
I did love that he said, I'm pretty sure I got this award because I almost died.
It may be. Could be true. So, you said you wanted to wrap up for tonight.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap up for tonight.
We'll record tomorrow.
For sure.
And we'll wrap up the events of the weekend.
Cool.
Cool?
Sounds good.
All right, brother.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Albie.
And I'm Heather.
And we do the Quantum Leap Podcast. It can be found at quantumleappodcast.com and also on iTunes.
We are starting at the beginning of Quantum Leap and going through all the episodes. This is my first time watching, and Albie has seen them during their original run.
In each podcast, we talk about the overall thoughts of each episode. We do an episode recap if you haven't seen them in a while, just to refresh your memory. And then we do a detailed plot discussion.
And we also have some great interviews.
Scott Bakula, I remember being very, very generous of spirit and very, very kind to his fellow actors. It was my first kiss ever. So I am getting to kiss Scott Bakula on screen.
And everybody involved with it was just terrific. And I'm always amazed that people come up to me and remember that episode and can quote things from it that I can't even quote.
So if you're a leaper, it'd be great if you came and joined us. And if you've never heard of Quantum Leap, it's maybe a good time to start watching it because you have a podcast to go along with it.
So please give our podcast a listen and hopefully you like us and stick around.
Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen to new episodes.
Hey, this is Jason Lyles, George from Rampage, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
So I'm here with Ray Chow. You are the writer and creator of Skies of Fire, which looks like an absolutely gorgeous book. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So Skies of Fire is a Dieselpunk Airship Adventure. It's it takes place in its own world, and in terms of story, types of story, it's sort of like Star Trek or Master and Commander, a captain in her ship, that type of story. So if you're into those stories, except with an airship, it follows an ambitious captain as she assembles a crew and hunts down a pirate terrorizing her kingdom. It's about the crew coming together, their personalities, how they maybe fall apart, and it covers themes of ambition, betrayal. How far would you go in search of a single goal? What would it take and what would it cost you?
So in terms of your artistic inspiration, like it has a very like kind of heavy metal sort of like European like artistic style. Like is that kind of your approach to it?
So, well, first of all, I'm the writer-creator, not the artist, but I can't speak to the... Hey, Norris, I can speak to the art direction of the book because I certainly have a hand in that. And we really wanted a... we had a specific aesthetic we had in mind for it. And when we were looking for artists, Pablo was the one that kind of matched what our vision for the project was most of all. And it kind of works out because my partner, Vince, his background is more in the European side of the comic world because he's an Italian citizen. He grew up reading Tintin and Mobius and all of that stuff. So, yeah, definitely it's a plan on our part. It's designed by our part to sort of look like that. But, you know, we try to do things a little American in terms of the way the story is structured and the colors. We really, really wanted it to pop. So sort of a Miyazaki influence to those as well.
So as the writer and creator of the book, so and now that I've butchered that horribly, so when you're approaching this, like, This seems like a very big like idea and a big story. Like I see you have like schematics and a model, and how do you kind of keep track of like the world and the ships that you're creating?
So we have a collaborative world folder that we drop everything in. So within that folder, there is, for instance, a timeline of the world that is about 20 tabs big, large in Excel or Google spreadsheets, and it tracks every 100 years and every major event in the world. We have schematic sheets and documents, fleet breakdowns of the world. We have a Wikipedia page that we try to keep track of it all and to organize as well. We just have lots and lots and lots of material. So the short answer is we try to keep as on top of it as possible.
So I don't want to take too much of your time because I know you're trying to hustle the books. Yeah. So tell me how our fans can find like this gorgeous looking book.
So they can go to our website, www.skiesofire.com, or our main company website, mythopoeia.us, mythopoeia.us. We're also frequently on Kickstarter. We actually have a Kickstarter campaign for that first trade out right now that runs through August.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, man. It's a really awesome looking book. So,
thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Alex DeCampi, writer of No Mercy from Image Comics and Grindhouse from Dark Horse Comics. And you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Because if you're thinking inside the long box, you're very small or very skinny.
How was your first San Diego? I mean, you got today left, but I think you said you were just going to wander after this interview.
Yeah, I'm going to do this interview and then...
Try to go to Ozobot if you can.
Oh, yeah, to talk to him?
Yeah.
Like, do you want me to try to re-interview him, or do you want me to just, like, try to set... We should
well,
set
it's
up
only, a, like, 10 minutes.
We should set up a phone interview with him, because we can talk to him for a lot longer.
Do you want to talk to him for a lot longer? I feel like that's a company you just want to kind of... Because I'm going to do a review and all that shit, too.
Yeah,
it's
we'll,
up to you.
We'll figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't... Honestly, I just don't want to go across the street to the Omni and have to walk through all those fucking people today.
Do it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I might. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see how I do. Don't give me that groan.
Okay.
Like you have been doing work for the last 5 fucking days.
Oh, stop. You're walking. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's all I'm doing for sure. Dick. Oh, man. So far it's been awesome. Like it's been, I mean, let's be 100% transparent. It's fucking exhausting.
It's tiring.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's always
been,
tiring.
It's been a lot of running from place to place and work and just kind of craziness, but it's been really cool to like meet other like media professionals, like right. to see what they
do. I don't know if we're professionals, no, but they're professionals.
They're professionals. we're something. We're the new guys. So I'm liking that because it gives us like insight into what we could be doing better.
Right.
And
right.
like what we can, like things that we can do to like kind of further the podcast and make the podcast a better thing.
Right. I agree.
I mean, getting into the round table discussions that, you know, I've been able to get into and talking to the people that I've been able to get to, you know, maybe they're not necessarily the people that I was the most excited to talk to,
right.
like going into the convention,
right.
but coming out of the round table or the, you know, press room right. or whatever right. makes it so that I'm way excited for what we covered.
Right.
You know, I'm very excited to talk about Man in the High Castle. I'm really excited to talk about Cutthroat City.
Like, it looked really cool.
Which looks was
the trailer
awesome.
That came out right before we went in, I think was like, holy shit, like this is, because I don't think we knew what the movie was really about.
I don't think anybody did.
Right. So it was cool to get that like pump up feeling right before you went into the yeah. interview. So that was cool. I forgot you had the Cass Anvar interview this morning.
Yeah.
Which will be really cool as well.
To talk to him about The Expanse and how, you know, how they got picked up after getting canceled.
He was the biggest proponent, supposedly. He was the one that was like, yeah, we need to get this saved.
And on top of it, he wasn't just the one that helped get it saved. He was also the one that... I forget what I was going to fucking say because I'm trying to figure out where we're going.
Oh, you're good. I'm going south.
Connecting to my GPS.
I know I'm going south.
Yeah, you are going south. Anyways, but like, it's been really cool. Like, it's been a ton of running around. It's been a ton of talking to people and just kind of going crazy. Like, there's definitely moments where I'm like, oh, shit. I've got to be in X place. Which is on the other side, not just of the convention center, but in a totally fucking different building.
Right.
Right fucking now.
Right.
You know? So, but other than that, man, it's been pretty cool. I just, you know, I'm tired. That's really it. You know, I'm worn out. Seeing Kevin Smith last night was awesome. Going to, you know.
I think everybody's tired. I think that... I don't know the gentleman's name, but he was a photographer. We had seen him a few times. We met his partner, I think, at the Discovery line.
Yeah, the Discovery. The lady. Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah. He was exhausted yesterday. But he's been running. He's been running.
Yeah,
he's been actually doing a lot of work. He had by the time we got to Cutthroat City, I think he said he'd done 5 things already. Right. I think he'd done Arrow and Supergirl and Flash, and he'd done all of these. And the Man in the High Castle, I think he was in on that one too.
He was.
He's done. That guy was fucking running. Which I don't. I mean, at some point you're like, yes, I want to be that guy, but I don't want to be that guy right now. It's mostly because there's only 2 of us.
Next year, I really want to be that guy. Like, next year, if I don't have something booked, I want to try to find a room. Like,
that's a smart idea.
We need more people.
Right.
And it'd be awesome to have a person in the Hilton that's just doing that. Like, whatever they get into in the Hilton, they go to. But when they're not in something that's scheduled, they're trying to go into something
right.
else.
Right.
Because he said that, like... Of the press rooms that he got into, he'd gone to like 6 or 8 of them, but he'd only been invited to like 3.
I think he said that day, I think he said 1.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much more opportunity there, but we just don't know that.
Like, right. Our first year.
We played by the rules, and fucking nobody else is playing by the rules.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know that they were...
No,
that we
I don't
played
mean,
by the rules.
I don't mean like
but,
cheating.
Right.
Like, I just mean... Like, everybody else is just trying to get the advantage, too. Like, they're all trying to get into, talk to people, and get into the rooms and stuff.
Well, but I mean, what's the... it's like anything. What's the worst that can happen? They tell you no?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
But I had that happen to me from Impulse to Origin.
Right.
Like, we were invited to the Origin press room. I showed up early. You know, they asked... they were asking around for somebody and they weren't there, and so I got to go to the Impulse,
right?
You know, panel too,
which is stupid. I should have just booked you. I don't know why. I can't even remember why I didn't. But we got invited to that before the show started too, so it was weird. I don't remember, but
it doesn't matter.
It's cool that we got in.
It may have even been me saying, "Ah, I want to do this one, but not the other one." Dude, they didn't even cut that guy off.
No, it wasn't that. Honking? It wasn't that close. But yeah, it was a good time. I think if you're tired this year and you want to do more next year, you're going to be even more tired.
I think. I think organizing what I have helped a lot. Like, I was way less tired on Friday and Saturday than I was on Thursday, because I brought too much stuff with me, and I just don't know. I probably need to get a different kind of bag. Like,
right.
There's just all sorts of.
You definitely need a backpack.
Yeah, I definitely need a laptop.
And backpack. It's not only just because I like to make fun of you, but it really is more supportive.
Yeah.
You've got one shoulder that's just hanging on to the strap side bag. You know what I mean? That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't mind it for one more day.
Right. No, of course, right.
But definitely going into going into Colorado Springs, I'm going to be very differently prepared.
And I don't think we need to. I don't know. We'll see.
We don't need to cart all sorts of shit around, but I'll definitely be significantly more prepared.
Right.
And I feel like this experience will make it so that we're that much more professional
going
into other conventions.
I agree.
So
I agree.
It finally connected to the GPS. So... You're staying right to go on SR-163 South. So it's not so much an exit as a split off.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was... the GoPro was a good idea. I would still... I don't know. It's weird. I would like to get... Especially if we're going to add people, I would like people or for us to have to buy, you know, another GoPro or some kind of handheld video recorder of some sort, because I still am figuring the GoPro out. But I think overall, as far as the actual equipment that we had, maybe it wasn't, organized the best way it could have been, but I feel like we did well. We had what we needed, and we accomplished it for the most part. Probably need, 15 more external chargers, but,
No, I ended the weekend with two, and by the time we were coming back from Kevin Smith at fucking, 1 in the morning or whatever, I still had charge.
Right,
so
right, right.
Two external chargers, I think, did it for me.
I needed to charge the GoPro more. I think that was because it was not turned off in between.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to be secure. Oh, shit, I'm at 1%. We got to go into this next thing.
I definitely was taping the Cutthroat City panel, and it just died.
Yeah, that's funny. Hopefully it saved it. Yeah. But it's good. I'm gonna look into that the other backpack that stick slate.
Yeah.
The one that they
with
sell.
The charger.
Does it have a charger?
I don't know
if it has or not. But it's a bigger, sturdier, heavier duty bag than the one that I have now. It's just more expensive. That's all. But it's a hardcore gaming bag
to carry.
Get shit. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, it's tough because you look at the dudes with these fucking giant cameras and these giant flash things, and it's intimidating. It's I don't know if I can take pictures professionally. But again, I don't know that. I think pictures are just a product of us being there, and not necessarily we have to get the best pictures. But
because that's not what we're there for,
right?
We're there to get the audio content
right.
for the show, and that's a very different process. The other people that were at the table, the one lady had a really nice camera with two mics, and that was it.
Right.
And she videotaped the whole thing, and if she's going to put it on a podcast, she's just going to lift the audio from
right.
the video.
And that's more or less what I was doing with the GoPro too, because I'm going to rip the audio from it. I mean, I'm going to put it up on YouTube and all that shit too, but it may not be the best video quality, but I'm going to have the audio to be able to take from it. So because that's the biggest thing, you know, for us at least.
I think the video quality is going to be really good on there, so... In 7.6 miles, you go to exit 1B.
I don't know, it was good.
I won't scream feet like last night.
Right!
Dude, we sounded like we were, like, drunk.
Oh,
we
man.
We were just all so tired, I think, that we were just stupid.
It's funny. Happy. I love getting together.
That should be fun to listen to for people.
That's the other thing. We need to figure out how to get into these parties. But I can't let Gabe go, unfortunately.
Yes, I can.
He has to stay at the hotel during parties.
You would just come back to the hotel and I'd be drunk. I only got drunk one night.
I know.
Out here.
It was funny. I think you should have. You're on vacation. As long as it doesn't affect the next day for you.
And it didn't, other than I was tired and grumpy. But I still did.
This was good. I had a good time. You weren't grumpy to me. So I just, yeah. I like razzing you no matter what. You get up here sometimes, but I don't, it's nothing just, bothers me very much. But I'm just not that guy.
There's a vehicle stopped on the shoulder ahead.
Oh, it's all right. I'm way on the left, so.
Yeah. I think we'll be okay.
But I would like to, and I've already told Jeremiah. Wow, Jeremiah. Not Jeremy. Woof. I'm going to fix that in post.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
no,
I am.
No, you're not.
Why'd
you call him Jeremy?
What does he do? He's a photographer. I completely forgot what the fuck we were talking about.
Yeah, it'd be great to have him along.
I think he could be the guy that we met. You know, he could be the one running panel thing to thing, just snapping pictures. Because it would be cool to have him on staff while we're focusing on audio, while we're doing this. I mean, I want to get in on Arrow and Flash and all that shit too, but if we can get pictures from it and that's it, cool. You know, I think that would still be pretty cool.
Right.
And then Albie sent me a message yesterday. He's like, I'm going next year. If you can get me in, I'm going next year.
Yeah.
I was like, honestly, me and Gabe were talking about it, and you are not allowed. So sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. He was one of the first people that we thought about,
yeah,
especially
for
doing interviews.
Right,
like we should definitely,
because that motherfucker is an over preparer.
Yeah,
like he's a really good interviewer. Like
the only problem with being an over preparer for this is there's definitely moments where you don't have time to prepare and you just have to do what's presented to you.
Right,
you know.
I think some of that was. I think some of that is our fault because there is only two of us. It's so hard when we both have full families and we're getting some of these things in the week leading up to us leaving. Like you can't. There's no time. You know what I mean? It is hard. And I think that's cool. That'll be cool for somebody else to help with. If we can't do it, you know what I mean?
Right.
If hey, Albie, we just got this interview, prepare for that one. You know what I mean? And I don't need to worry about him. He knows what the fuck he's doing with all the equipment.
Right.
So that's not one. That's another cool thing. I don't need to be there.
You don't have to worry about me having a panic attack after something because I'm not sure.
I don't have to worry about an interview getting ruined. Because it was recording out the top.
Yeah, that sucked. I'm sorry about that. You know,
son of a bitch.
You know, the best part about this whole thing is just the experience of it and being able to do it and being able to, like, further the podcast.
Right.
Like, taking pictures of people and handing them a card.
Right.
You know, interviewing somebody and telling them, hey, when this comes up, we'll tag you.
Right. Like, and I'm going to send it. I'm going to send them. There are people links and all that bullshit too. So hopefully they use them. I don't know. You never know with famous people,
right.
Or more famous people, I guess.
No, so I mean,
like,
some of the
more famous people than us.
Some of the people we talk to are pretty famous.
Yeah, for sure. So. No, I agree. I 100% agree. But it is hard without some kind of promotion on their end. But you can't force them. I mean, you can't. You just hope that they share it and like what you did with the interview and it sounds good and all that shit. So,
but every once in a while you get a Jason Lyle.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
It's awesome. Like, because you end up, you see him somewhere else. They recognize who you are. They love what you do. You love what they do. And it just becomes this giant, like, let's all promote each other kind of thing.
And the thing is Jason's, the relationship, if I could call it that, is not really like he shared the podcast, and we got a lot of, you know, likes and listens and all that shit. But I feel like that's a relationship that can grow as he grows.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That excites me. That he's going to do Godzilla, and I have no idea if we can talk about it or not, because I'm guessing he's on IMDb.
He's going to do it. I don't know that we can say much else about it.
Right, which is weird because the trailer's out. Just go search. Go look at who he is. It's not that hard. But it's cool. I mean, it makes me excited for him to be like, I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder what we're going to get to talk to him about that next after Godzilla. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's cool as fuck to me.
And that's what I love. That's what I love about talking to, like, independent comic book artists and stuff like that.
Right.
Because you don't know. I want to talk to them because I like what they made. But I don't know if the guy that I like what he made this year is, like, the Eisner winner of
right.
best comic this year in, like, 3 years.
Right.
You know, and we get to be in on the ground floor of people that are creating something new and different that nobody maybe even knows about.
Right.
But in 5 years might be the next big thing, might be the next Walking Dead or Saga
right.
or something like that.
And that's the cool thing. You go, Jason Lyles maybe does, you know, maybe he stays on track to do all only motion cap.
Maybe he becomes the next Andy Serkis.
Right. I'm fucking sneezing. Thank you. But I mean, maybe like when, because I think he's going to be a big player in the future, you know, when people are like, I wonder what else fucking Jason Lyles has done, you know, they search him and we come up that first interview like, holy shit, this is when he did fucking Rampage. You know what I mean? It's exciting to me.
It is.
I like it.
It's good stuff, man. Like, I really, really enjoy like what we do. It's my favorite thing.
I enjoy mostly what we do. And that has nothing to do with you. Because you're going to feel like it does.
No, I just don't know what you don't enjoy about what we do.
Right here, right?
Yeah, you're going
north
to the...
North or south?
The south.
South?
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
So, let's get into the bad things about Comic-Con.
My feet hurt. I'm tired as fuck.
A month ago, we were invited... Here's the thing. Before I say any of this, we've been told no before. It's not a big deal to me. I don't mind being told no because I get it. There are people who are fucking famous and they don't have time for little people. I get it. Sometimes it happens. I don't like commitment and then non-commitment because I think that's shitty. And I think that, you know, if something comes up, I get it. Like, if we set something up and your fucking mom's in the hospital or something, I get it. Or if you have to go home or something, I get it. It's a month ago, the Super Troopers people emailed us. And they were like, hey, you know, I ignored it, which is stupid because I wasn't paying attention. I didn't know it was an RSVP thing. But she's like, hey, you know, they sent out an RSVP, you know, RSVP for the panel. We're gonna, you know, it's this time, whatever, whatever. And I ignored it. And then two or three days later, she's like, hey, I just wanted to make sure to see if you wanted to come to this. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, for sure, we're down. Mark me and my co-host Gabe down. And she's like, okay, you've marked down for two. It's an open panel. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. So I was like, okay, we're good. So I mark that time for us, which is going to be fucking insane, which actually ended up clearing up the day. But I mark the time. We don't take anything else because of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the day before, I'm at the zoo. The day before we get there, the day before the panel, I'm at the zoo with my kids. And they send out an email that says, you know, we appreciate you looking into wanting to do it, but we're not going to have room for you. Which is confusing because I was like, I got an email saying I was already in. Did something
like
change?
Ago.
Yeah. And she's like, well, she wasn't supposed to. She was supposed to be meaning that you were on the list to maybe get in, which is definitely not what the email sounded like or said. And that shit's annoying to me. Like, it's just really weird. Like, if I feel like, and maybe I would be different if I was a PR person and you know, I had to manage all that shit, but I feel like I would be like, oh fuck, you know, that's our bad. Come on. You know what I mean? We'll make room. Don't worry about it. Come down. We'll make the room, because that feels like a complete mistake on my end. It would feel like it. But again, I'm not in the situation. I don't understand. It just makes me upset. The other thing, Mr. Joe Namath. I get it. He's 90-something years old. He's dying. Like, I get it. He actually looked really good. That's a big lie. He actually looked really good for how old he is.
But he definitely was going to be exhausted by the end of the day.
And here's the thing. Then I tell my handlers, I don't want you to book anything for me today.
Right.
Or book me three interviews with the three biggest companies that are here. You know what I mean? Don't go out and book interview and time with people who are looking forward to it. For you to just go home and not give anybody warning and not do anything, you just leave.
Right.
Like, that's bullshit. And I'm sorry. And if it doesn't get us an interview because of it, I get it. Like, I'll take that responsibility. I'd love to talk to him. I like the Migo. I like the idea. What he's doing is cool. It's just as a human being that really bothers me.
Like, I think a big part of that too is, you know, every time we talk to him, we got like, not with that hard commitment to like our interview time and stuff like that. But anytime after that moment, everything was very well, maybe like depending on if this happens, perhaps, you know, this person,
right,
you know, kind of stuff, where I felt like they were less prepared for the convention than we were.
Right.
And we're not professionals trying to launch a toy line, you know, like.
And again, we say it with all due respect, because I've been ranting about it all weekend to Gabe, just fucking around. But I want to talk to him, and that's why it bothers me so much that you would just you wouldn't tell your people, hey, try and see if these people can reschedule, or try and see if they can come early. You know what I mean?
Or you would just leave. Meet him somewhere else,
right?
Like, if he doesn't want to come back to the convention center, like, I'm more than willing to go sit, you know, poolside for like,
right,
10 minutes.
We did it.
Yeah, you know, I did do it. I did it with Pia.
It's just annoying to me that you would have all these things set up, whether you did it or not. I don't know, nor do I care. It's just annoying to me. You know, that's just as a human and as a professional. You know, maybe I'm not the biggest thing in the world, but I still consider us to be a professional to get the courtesy. You know what I mean? Even though you're fucking Joe Namath, that doesn't mean anything to me. I want. As a human being, I want you to be courteous. You know what, right, I mean? But those were the small little quibbles in a otherwise awesome couple of days for me at Comic-Con. I love coming. I love doing this.
And my feet hurt.
Your feet always hurt. Right. We could walk down the stairs in your house and your feet hurt.
This is accurate. That's a true fact.
But I love it. I love being here. I love doing it. I sometimes I don't emote that because I'm always in the moment and I'm always thinking about what we're doing next and what's happening and what's going to go out and how can I do this and that. And it's hard. It's overwhelming. This is the, and that's the one thing I told you, I think, before you came, is be prepared to be overwhelmed, because it's not just a convention center. This is really a fucking, really, it's like a way of life. It's like a, it's an ingrained thing in the town. Yeah. It's insane. Like, everybody fucking goes out for this thing, whether they're three or four blocks from the convention center or not. Like, this whole fucking area is San Diego Comic-Con.
And it's exactly what Denver should aspire to be.
Right.
Like, cause this, you know, a lot of the time people malign it because it's the big one, and oh, it's just this, and oh, it's just that, and oh, it's just movie trailers and fuck.
Come.
If you haven't been it, you don't been at it, you don't get to talk shit
about it
because they are genuinely doing it right. Like, it's organized. Like, it's not anywhere near as chaotic as other conventions that we've been to.
The entry takes maybe minutes. 15 or 20 minutes. But that's for it to really die down. Open, right, you know? Right.
But if you're walking in and out at 2 in the afternoon, there is zero hassle to get in and out.
I've been to three of these, and I've never once had any problems with being able to just go in. Like, I've never waited in line for an hour and a half or wasted my whole morning trying to get into the building. You know what I mean?
All right.
I'm dropping Gabe off to do one more interview and hang out at the con.
I think you have to go. Oh, maybe.
No parking, no stopping. Yeah. I can go in here. Fuck, I don't care.
Yeah, let's just go a half a block.
Let's just go in here. Cass Anvar this morning.
Yep, from The Expanse. Should be awesome. And then, maybe just go right over here.
Yeah.
And I'll just hop out on the other side. And yeah.
It was good. I guess this is going to be the end of the episode, so...
No, we'll probably record some tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, I'm in for that. Okay, this is just the end of today. All right, cool. Yeah. We'll take a break then.
Bye.
Hello, Hobie listeners. You don't know us, but we know you. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ian.
And we're the Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, better known as the bad guys, the villains of the story, if you will. A feud that we didn't even start. It was started by Jason. All because he called us out. And we retaliated and such. Because, what did we say, Ian?
We got rings, baby.
That's right. We've got rings. And the feud escalated. And now here we are, the bad guys. So here we are petitioning today to be the 2016 floppy villains of the year. And to hear just how villainous we are, check out our show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Satchel, and any other number of podcasting apps that you may find out there. Jeez, I can't even talk. That's how villainous I am. So there you go. Go ahead. Give us a listen.
Go Steelers.
Hello there, this is Mort Todd, and in my spare time, I love to listen to Tales from the Long Box over and over again.
So here we are in the independent comic book area at Comic-Con International. We're talking to Colin and Joseph. They're the writers and artists of Spirits, the Soul Collector. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you doing?
So tell us a little bit about your book.
Sure. Okay, so it's about a young boy who basically must learn to see the spirits of our world in order to find and rescue his younger brother's stolen soul.
So the art in it looks fairly cartoony, but it sounds like the story itself is kind of like a darker sort of fantasy. Why take like a cartoony direction with that?
We basically created a story that we would have liked to have read when we were, 10, 11, 12 years old. I've always been very attracted to the more cartoony styles, and it just felt like something that would fit well for the story, being an all-ages fantasy.
So as all-ages fantasy, you're obviously trying to, target kids. How do you hustle the parents that have the money to buy the books for the kids?
Well, one of the really fun aspects of the book is we have spirits hidden throughout the story. Just on the cover, front and back, there's 20 hidden spirits. A lot of times parents will enjoy reading the story with their kids, and the kids try to find the spirits in all the panels and things like that. Also being adults now, still reading all-age fantasies, we also wrote the story for us now as well, So I think there's lots of various layers to it that all ages can really enjoy.
So it's not just kids. It's truly in your hearts an all-ages book.
Oh, 100%. In the beginning, it starts off with kind of simpler themes. But as we move along in the plot, it definitely gets more complex, more comprehensive, more immersive. So as you read, you can kind of grow with it. And there will be certain nuances to the plot and the storytelling that I think adults will appreciate that some kids might not even pick up. So I think it's a little bit of something for everybody, for sure.
So coming to the convention, you're here in the independent, kind of comic book area. How has it been for you so far this year?
It's been pretty good. It's our first San Diego Comic-Con.
Ours too.
Beautiful. Welcome. It's actually our first time with this book as well. We just did a Kickstarter. It actually ended on Monday. So we're debuting it here at the convention. It is currently already a webtoon with the company Lion Webtoon. This book here is the first 20 chapters. There's already another 14 available online. It's ongoing. But as far as the convention goes, it's been a lot of fun getting it in people's actual physical hands for the first time ever. It's nice kind of seeing the reactions of their faces, and people have even come back the day after purchasing it and telling us that they loved it and can't wait for more. So it's been really good for us.
It's got to be really satisfying to have, like, a customer literally come back and get the feedback, like, immediately. You know, spending all the time to, like, write and create the book, like, what does that feel like, getting that, like, kind of feedback?
I mean, it makes it all worth it, really, you know? I mean, we believe in the story fully, and we want to get it in people's hands no matter what. But getting that feedback, it just, like, you know, making the comic is a lot of hours, a lot of work, you know, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and it can wear on you. But when you get those smiles, those compliments, the praise, you know, even people trying to guess things that are happening in the plot in the future, it makes it all rewarded, like, very, very quickly.
It's got to be cool to, like, be creating a fandom, like, as you go along, you know, where people are like, oh, man, what comes next? That's, yeah. I mean, that's my favorite part of comic books is, like, speculating what's going to happen next a lot of times. So it's awesome. How can people find you guys online so that they can check out this awesome-looking book and hopefully pick up copies of it from you?
Well, so our website is spiritscomic.com. You can read the story online at read.spiritscomic.com, and that's through Line Webtoon. You can download the Line Webtoon app. You can subscribe to us. It's all free. All the content is 100% free online. And then if you subscribe to us, basically you'll just get an alert anytime we release new content, and you can jump right in and catch up to the story.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Alex. I write Arcadia for Boom Studios, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
So here I am with Sanfar. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, brother. What's your name, Gabriel?
I'm Gabe. I'm with Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. I'm super excited to be here with you. Tell me just a little bit about kind of the fan reaction that you've been getting since Amazon picked up Expanse.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been coming to San Diego Comic-Con for about 7 years now. I've never had lineups for hours and hours before. I don't know what has happened. The fan base is energized since, I don't know if it's because they thought they lost something they loved and they got it back again, or whether or not season 3 just blew their minds, but we've got, I've been having lineups for hours since yesterday. I can't get through all the people fast enough, and they're just patiently waiting. Like, some people waited an hour yesterday, so.
That's crazy, man.
Like, it is. It's lovely. I mean, it's really flattering, and it's really heartwarming, and I'm really grateful to the fans for all the work they put into. They really, really did save their show, so thank you.
So, really quickly, I want to take very little of your time to be able to get to your fans.
But, yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you're looking at transferring from sci-fi to going to Amazon, has the process been different in, like, how it's filming, or does it all come across the same? It's just the way it releases is different.
We are not yet filming yet. We're going to start in September, so I don't know exactly what is going to be different in the filming. From what I understand, there's going to be very little that changes in terms of what we do and our job. I know there's going to be a little bit more freedom in terms of the content. There's no restrictions anymore. We have no FCC to deal with. We have no censorship things to deal with. And I know that time-wise, the show does not have to subscribe and be contained into a 47-minute commercial break, four-act kind of thing. We just get to tell a story. If it takes us an hour and 10 minutes to tell a story, or 55 minutes to tell a story, or 70 minutes to tell a story, we just do what's best for that episode.
So, you know, knowing that the book kind of came from, like, a role-playing game, and then the you know, the show comes from the book, what's it feel like to know that, like, this is so immersed in, like, nerd culture?
I think the background and the history of the books and the show basically means that there has been an immense amount of work done on creating the universe. The universe is completely fleshed out. The characters, the politics, the cultures, the environments, everything has been thought of by the creators, James S. A. Corey, which is Ty Frank and Daniel Abrams. So whenever we have a question to anything that comes up, there's an answer to it, and it's been thought out for the past 10 years. It has been structured into a game, it has been structured into a book, and now it's being restructured into a TV show. So every possible nuance has been thought of, and that's a dream for an actor to work with.
When you're you know, digging into the books, when you get the questions answered, like, has there ever been a moment where you're like, oh, I didn't expect that at all?
Oh, there's been plenty of cliffhangers. I mean, the protomolecule being the biggest one, where we don't know, as you're reading the books, you don't know what the purpose is, you don't know why it's there, you don't know why it's doing what it's doing, you don't know what happened to the people who created it. there's a lot of mysteries that keep catching us off guard, but that's what good storytelling is you create a bunch of characters that you fall in love with, you care what happens to them, and you throw them into a situation where they are figuring stuff out, and you are figuring stuff out as a reader or a viewer as they are. And that's what is wonderful storytelling, is constantly being surprised as your characters are being surprised.
So with the last like minute or two, what are some things that we can look forward to in season four that obviously aren't going to spoil or get you in trouble?
I will just say quickly, if you look at The Expanse as a space opera, seasons 1, 2, and 3 were the first movement of that opera. We are now entering into a new world. The gates are open. We have 1,500 different solar systems to explore, brand new worlds on each of them. And if the first movement was all about defining the universe, defining the world, defining those three cultures that are at war in this tiny little solar system of our own, now the walls have been blown out, and now it's basically the futuristic version of the Gold Rush.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to let you get back to your fans, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabe.
This is Allison O'Toole of the Toronto Comics Anthology, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
All right, we're recording.
Yay.
So we're like, what, 20 minutes away from my house?
Hopefully less, because I think we're 22 minutes away from my house.
Oh, okay. So we're almost home?
Yes.
Almost home.
17 hours or something like that of driving?
It's been kind of long getting back. Very tired.
Very tired.
What are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Walk.
That seems stupid.
I only have 2,100 steps for the day.
Oh, man, that sounds perfect.
Nope.
Sit back here.
Yeah, right? Sitting back there, she get.
Alicia got 12,000 steps just sitting in the back.
I have 4.
Nice. Oh man! So yeah,
this is the end.
We finished San Diego Comic Con. We got there. We made it home. It wasn't awful.
What did you do on Sunday?
What did I do on Sunday?
Yeah,
I basically sat next to a train and then on a train.
On Sunday?
That was Monday.
Oh, Sunday. Sorry, that was Monday. Sunday. I walked around the showroom floor. I talked to a few people. Just basically I interviewed like 4 or 5 people, and then I checked out some of the stuff that was in like the Marriott, which we hadn't really looked at, which had a ton of like, basically that was like the anime and gaming side of it. There was a ton of stuff from like Funimation and things like that. There's a pinball arcade, which was pretty cool, even though I'm terrible at pinball.
How many times did you play?
Like 3. It wasn't too bad. The lines weren't too bad. There was like a Magic the Gathering room. There was like a Yu-Gi-Oh room. Like,
seems like an odd way to spend a Comic-Con.
Well, I think there's tournaments going on. And especially with like Magic and stuff, you can actually win money at the tournaments. So if you go for the tournaments, you're having a very different convention experience than everybody else, you know? But that's where like the official merchandise was too. I mean,
the
just
Marriott. It wasn't in sales.
Yeah, it was at the Marriott.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but it was cool. Like the other, I mean, it was just basically the side of the convention that we didn't see at all. You know,
that's so where all the real nerds were.
It was cool to wander around that. There was like some video gaming rooms. It was funny because there was like no wait to sit at like literally computers to play Injustice, but it was also set up with keyboards instead of like joysticks. I was like, so I have no idea how to play this, so I'm not going to do that.
You could have learned real quick.
Nah, probably not. But man, it was cool. It was a good day. Like I met Jerry the King Lawler. That was pretty fun. I got him to sign something for you, Juan.
By happenstance.
Yeah, by happenstance, just wandering by.
What booth was he at? You said some book.
Some book booth. Like, or he was either that or he was sharing with somebody. I'm not 100% sure, but he was very nice. He was a very nice guy.
How long was that line?
It wasn't.
No?
Like, I saw him and walked up to him.
Oh, wow.
Like, nice. There was nobody there. Like, and like I said, the guy that came up after me, like, immediately was like, I have a question about the territory years. And, like, and he was, like, super nice to that guy, too. Like, immediately went into talking about how whichever territory he was in should have owned, like, this other city and on. It was pretty cool. Like, he was really nice. Talked to Fanbase Press, which is always good, and a couple people that were right there with them. And
did you interview the guy who did Ryan's sketch at all, or no?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It's very possible that I didn't. So, okay. Yeah. Picked up Ryan's sketch, though, which is really cool.
He was pretty excited by it.
Yeah, good. And he got some free... he gave him some prints too, like a Batman and a Wolverine print to go with it. So
I like the way that guy thinks.
Yeah, he was really cool. He's really nice. He did a Conan sketch for me. I got a Tom Neely sketch.
I have to get all that stuff from you before you leave.
Yeah,
because I'm
gonna
take it tomorrow.
Stumbled across. I did find something really cool. It was Cells from the Conan the Animated series that came out in like the 90s, and. They were $10 a pop, which is, like, crazy, right? I went and got this other, like, Conan collectible and was showing that guy the cells. He's like, how much did you pay for those? I was like, they were $10 each. He's all, holy crap, if I were selling these at my booth, I'd be selling them for $150. I'm like, well, good on me.
I'm not going to tell you where they are.
Well, I told him, I'm not selling you mine. So, they're cool because they have, like, the original, like, pencil drawing and the painted cell. So, like, I can frame them next to each other if I want to.
Nice.
It'd be really cool. Has, like, all the notes and stuff on the pencil drawing and stuff.
I feel like you're not going to frame them.
No, I will. I've been framing quite a bit of the stuff I've gotten lately.
Have you?
So, yeah. Especially stuff like that.
I got nothing but frames in my basement.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Like, I need to get my Frankie Serna Conan piece framed.
This shit ain't cheap. Oh, you're taking it out of the book?
No. He gave me a print, like an 11x17 print, like a year or two back that I want to get done, so.
Oh, I was like, oh, I didn't know you were going to take it out of the print. Out of the
book. No way. The book stays. I do have to duct tape the spine of the book, though, because it's starting to come apart a little bit.
Mine was put together.
Yeah.
It was made, so it's kind
of
janky.
Like, the integrity of the interior of the book is fine. It's just that exterior cover part is kind
of... It's got to be from all of this, and then the guys pressing on it.
Exactly, which is totally fine.
Yeah,
like, I was expecting it to happen, so...
Duct tape fixes all.
Yes, it does. So how about you, man? What was your con experience? How'd it go?
Tired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was good. It was fun. It's always fun.
I had a blast. Like, I don't sound like it right now, because I'm just worn out, and also I took Dramamine, so I'm a little sleepy.
Alicia drugged him up.
Oh, man. She's a pusher. But made it through the night. Drove a decent chunk of it, too, and you did most of the driving, though.
I do. Yeah, you I don't like to passenger. My head started hurting. I don't know if it was the Red Bull or the motion sickness. I don't know.
I definitely had way too many energy drinks overnight.
It's weird. They don't really do anything for me anymore. Unless I'm on an empty stomach. I just gotta not eat.
They keep me they keep me awake enough that I can make it a little longer, I think, than I normally would.
Right.
But, I mean, eventually your body just... can't take it. Doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter how much caffeine or guarine or whatever you give it. It's just like, nope, done now.
I was done.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you got some sleep though overnight.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I'm glad I could do the same shift, like the kind of 2 a.m till the dawn. You know. But
yeah, it was a good time. You know, we talked about kind of a little bit what we did. It was just that Sunday that we hadn't been able to talk about yet.
Right. I think that's pretty much a wrap, though, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, next year, hopefully, we can grow a little bit and bring a couple extra people. You know, however that ends up working with cars and all that bullshit, but
figure it out.
Yeah, or planes or whatever they want to do.
maybe Caravan.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, but it's hopefully we can grow into next year. We kind of know the lay of the land now, so that's not an obstacle like it was this year.
Definitely the mistakes that I made this year aren't mistakes I'll make again next year.
No.
And, like, the things I didn't know this year will become assets because I know them now. You know, like, the way to access, like, press rooms that maybe you didn't get invited to,
right,
and stuff like that. Like, it's not about being a jerk or being pushy. It's just about showing up.
Yeah. Hey,
because the same way that I was overbooked, other people are overbooked. And so maybe they miss something and you get to sneak in.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's literally how I got into the Impulse panel. You know? Is I just happened to be early for Origin. Yeah, keep going straight. I happened to be early for Origin, and as a consequence, I got to go into Impulse, you know? So it was good times.
This is going to happen. Get off on 34.
No, it's not. You're just going to keep going straight.
Okay.
Yep. It'll take you on to 8th Ave. As I describe how we go to my house.
It's okay.
I know. It's just funny because most of these involve, like, somebody saying directions. Including the amazing one we did with John and Carissa. Oh, man.
I almost died.
Holy crap. This is my hometown. I kind of miss it.
Oh, God.
What? You can't miss home?
No.
You don't miss home?
Nope.
Liar. You're full of shit.
I don't miss home.
That's a lie.
I miss being home, but I don't necessarily miss my home. I miss not being somewhere that's mine.
I miss all my stuff, like my bed and my bed. Oh, my couch.
Oh, man.
I miss my PlayStation a little bit.
Play video games on your phone.
Oh, dude, I mashed my data to death this week.
Get on all the Wi-Fi's, bro.
Oh, no, I did. Just didn't. Sometimes there's not Wi-Fi's.
Oh, I know.
Oh, driving past my pot store here in a second.
The Live Well?
No, Smokies. It's like right over there. Oh, man. I say we leave it at that. Big yawns.
Yeah.
Be sure to check us out, www.totlb.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/totlb. It's where you can find some exclusive San Diego Comic-Con content.
Hopefully it was worth it to Michael Young.
I think so. Dollar. Can't be that not worth it.
I don't know how much Patreon stuff you did. That's why.
I'm going to be doing more tonight.
Nice.
And probably keep doing... I'll probably do a couple more updates because I missed a couple days. I was going to do the one update on Sunday night, but I have no idea where my mouse is, and for some reason there's no way to, like, re-engage the touchpad on my laptop without an external mouse. And the Ralph's that was, like, two blocks from my hotel also did not have external mice, so, anyway. I'll be doing some more stuff for that here in the next, like, day or two, so.
And I'll be pumping out little interviews.
Yep, they're going. Stuff is starting to come out. You can also support us by going to amazon.totlb.com. Anything you buy there will give us a little bit of a kickback. Maybe go pick up something from one of the people that we interviewed, like Sherilyn Kenyon,
yep,
number one New York Times best-selling author.
Twice.
She has a new book coming out really soon. Hopefully she reset the counter on the other book that got delayed.
Did not look like
it. I don't think it looked like it was reset either, but that's okay. See you.
Rob Guillory interview
is already out. I mean, by the time you hear this, everything should be out.
Hopefully.
So you'll have heard, like, Rick Remender and, like, panels, Nichelle Nichols winning an Inkpot Award, like, all sorts of stuff happen. Just be sure to check out all our content. What are the other things I say? Oh, yeah, you can find us at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox, on Instagram or Twitter at @outsidelongbox. You can always shoot us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. It's a really good way, if you have a creative project that you want to share with our listeners, to get a hold of us, get on the show, tell us about your comic book, your movie, your whatever it is that you're working on. We'd love to talk to you. And, of course, you can call us on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline, 970-573-6148. Holy shit, as tired as I am, I actually just did that. So, oh man, that building was there when I left Greeley.
What is that?
It's a building that they demolished.
Was it the Mexican restaurant?
No, that one's been gone for a couple weeks. It was like little brick, like, stores.
Huh.
It was like that weird collectibles place. That's nuts.
I wonder if they're leasing.
You're leasing the vacant the vacant pile of rubble. Oh man. But yeah, it's been a good time. We had a lot of fun. Hit us up on any of our social medias. We'd love to talk with you, and if you have any questions about any of our content, I'm sure we can give you more details about stuff that we saw. Keep an eye out for all of it, and that sounds like about it. With that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And this has been San Diego Comic-Con, Thinking Outside the Long Box. I go to sleep now. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.